the OTB Podcast Network.
All right, let's get the views of Stephen Hunt, who joins us this morning. Stephen, I hope you're well. How are you getting on?
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. It's good to have some proper sports news to talk about. I'm not going to lie. This is a proper big story. A new Ireland manager. What did you make of how this whole thing unfolded?
Yeah, listen, if you look at it and you take all the emotion out of the decision, you can see why the FAI have acted the way they have. I think Mick would have been extremely disappointed for sure in terms of what happened, but knowing Mick and the way he is, he would have been disappointed, to say the least. I think he would have been keen to finish the job, but from a business point of view, which the new guys in charge have acted very decisive in their decisions and probably have made the right decision for the good of football in Ireland as well, and the good for Stephen Kenny for sure.
Let's talk about Mick first, because obviously this is his second stint in charge, and it hasn't ended the way he would have wanted it. You know, obviously if he qualified for the tournament and was handing over the reins to a team that was already qualified, like Herreide did in Denmark, for example, then that would have been the perfect send-off for him. The campaign was a bit meh in the end. Like, 3 wins, 2 against Gibraltar, 1 against Georgia, not a very difficult group when you look back on it. The Danes didn't play up to their own standards. So what is his legacy from this campaign going to be, Stephen? How do we sum it up? Like, was it a success or was it kind of in the middle?
I think Mick goes back a long way with Ireland. When I joined Wolves, whatever it was now, it could be 10, 11 years ago, I quickly found out Mick wants to be manager again from there. So it wasn't just this campaign for Mick. It was about getting back into that job that he obviously had some fond memories of and obviously some scar tissue. So for Mick, getting back into the job wasn't just about coming back and doing really well in a whole. It was about a lot more, to be honest with you. And when you look at the campaign as a whole, I think it was stop-start. But when Mick took over, there was a connection lost with, one, the manager and the media. So then the atmosphere within the group could never come across to the fans. I think Mick has brought a connection back with the fans where it was needed. And then he got the game rolling, got the ball rolling, was going into the playoffs on the back of a good performance and with confidence. But at the same time, I've been disappointed not to qualify for sure. But I think overall, Mick will leave this job and look at it as a success. The fans have reunited with the whole buy-in to the fact that they needed to be connected again, for sure. But now you're looking at going into the playoffs. If we had Mick in charge, if he won, he'd have been in a right good place. But now, obviously, he's not, and Stephen takes over with a difficult start, in my opinion. But it's going to be interesting with the two new guys as the backroom staff as well. Having known them, it's going to be exciting.
The excitement that comes from the backroom team. What is it in particular about them? What do you think the two lads will actually bring as a backup to Stephen Kenny in terms of Keith Andrews and in terms of Damien Duff? Because I think because of the roles that they've held so far, our knowledge on the two lads as coaches so far in their career almost comes from what we hear said about the lads and almost the hearsay about the lads. From knowing them, what is their philosophy? How does it fall in line with what Stephen Kenny will bring?
I suppose I was nearly about to retire and I trained with MK Dons and I seen Keith Andrews as a coach. He's very efficient, very well able to dominate the players and get what he wanted from them, in terms of a nice, strong view. Duffers has obviously turned into a bit of a fanatic. I've done my UEFA B course with him. You could tell he's a deep thinker and wants to do things 100%. So you hear things coming out of Shamrock Rovers when he was there with the young boys. No matter what level you train, you have to train with enthusiasm for the players, and he certainly did that. So the enthusiasm them two boys have. But if you look at the whole setup and take a back seat and look at it and you go, right, Damien Duff, really good character, really good person, really reliable. Keith Andrews, really good person, really strong-minded, as you can tell from his views on Sky, and a really good coach. And then, first and foremost, both of them are really good human beings. So not only has he got strong characters, he's got good people as well. I think that goes down to Jim Crawford and then John O'Shea as well, within the camp that they are all on the journey of being coaches and managers and all real strong characters. They're, again, I go back to it, really good people and really good to be around. So if I was the players, I'd be excited by the guys coming in with Stephen as well, for sure.
Can I ask you about John O'Shea, actually? Because I hadn't heard the notion of him being floated as somebody who is in the extended backroom team, or getting involved with the under-21s. But it's a brilliant decision. And like I was saying, that kind of John O'Shea had an absolutely remarkable career, and as you say, it seems like a really good person. So, I wasn't sure that he was going to get involved in management, because he was so successful that he could easily have just put his feet up and retired and, you know, done whatever he wanted to do with his life. But he's made the decision to get involved and to roll his sleeves up and to go in at a club level where it's not an easy job. It's like every day you're trying to make a group of players better to sustain themselves in a division or to try and achieve something. So what's he going to bring to the under-21 setup? And what kind of future do you envisage for him in his career? Is he management material ultimately? Is that where this is going for him?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt John O'Shea will be manager one day. He's just started his journey now. He started coaching this year at Reading, so he's had 5-6 months at Reading. He's a little bit behind the two guys in terms of coach for a while, and is still on the learning train. He's literally, I've known John since he's 12. He doesn't take anything for a chance. He does his homework, he does his work, he studies hard. I say study. I mean, football is sometimes about learning the ropes, seeing what mistakes people make, what they gain from their experience, and they do good. And I'm sure John will go into the 21 setup wanting to do well with the teams, wanting to win first and foremost. And then it helps everyone both ways. John's getting a look at young players to see what's up and coming, like Andrews has done with the 21s now, and got a feel for their characters, got a feel for how they play. Would have been looking to take the next step into first team coaching anyway, if it wasn't with Ireland, I'm sure. And Keith has obviously gone in with Stephen. Stephen liked him. So going back to John, he's PR perfect to be a manager. He relates to the fans. He gets them. He gets what they're feeling. And obviously he's a deep thinker of the game. So one day he will be manager for sure. It could possibly be the senior international team. I'm not too sure what they're thinking, but one day he'll look to manage Ireland, whether it's 10 years time, 20 years time. But he'll definitely go on and be a manager somewhere.
Hmm. So we've got John O'Shea, we've got Damien Duff, we've got Keith Andrews, a couple of experienced former Irish internationals there, to say the very least. Then you've got Robbie Keane, Stephen. Where does Robbie Keane end up in all of this? If you're running the FAI, is there a role that you create for him? Is it simply paying off his contract and going forward with the management teams that Stephen Kennedy and Jim Crawford wants?
Just having a bit of trouble with your line there, Stephen. So we might see if we can give Stephen a quick call back on that. But good question, Owen. Good question. Where does Robbie Keane fit into all this?
There is obviously a wealth of experience already there. And I think it has been one of the criticisms, hasn't it, of the FAI, at least in previous years, that there isn't enough of past experience being called upon, that there isn't enough of, as you say, like, you talk about the Jack Charlton era, great, European Cup winners, et cetera, but the Mick McCarthy era was similar. Like, not obviously quite at that level, but just one rung below it in terms of the quality we've had around. And obviously, we've had Roy Keane brought into the setup before. That didn't quite work out. I think perhaps on the management level, that isn't going to work out for him generally. Stephen, I know you're back with us. And I was just making that point there, that the FAI have clearly moved to perhaps address in recent years the fact that former Irish internationals and successful club players, for example, and successful Irish internationals perhaps weren't being given a fair crack at a whip when it came to gigs in the FAI. Robbie Keane obviously had been given his gig a couple of years ago, is still on a contract. What do you now do with Robbie Keane and that contract?
Yeah, well, as I said before, I got cut off. I think Robbie would have had a conversation with the FAI when he took over and what role he would have been. I'm not 100% sure Stephen Kenny would have known about it. So until they come upon that he'd signed a 4-year deal, listen, Robbie can certainly be an ambassador for the FAI going forward. Does he want to be involved in the coaching? Only Robbie knows that. He's got a job in Middlesbrough that has obviously got off to a to a dodgy start, to say the least, and they've had to pick themselves up and deal with an awful lot there. But again, he'll be learning from that, I suppose, and he'll want to learn from the not winning games. It's tough when you start off as a coach and a manager, so, and especially a young manager in Woodgate. So I'm sure they're both learning as they go along. He's picked Robbie because he believes in Robbie as a coach and as a person, and he'll look to develop as a coach, I'd imagine, somewhere, but obviously not with the Irish setup, in the senior setup, and maybe Robbie doesn't want to have to go down younger either. I'm not too sure. Robbie's the best person to ask on that for sure. I don't think it's an ideal situation, if I'm honest with you, but it's happened. It happened 2 years ago, and the guys that have taken over the reign have had to deal with it. So, as I said, they've dealt with it decisive in every decision so far. So you go with that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's interesting that you refer to him as a developing coach there, and that's obviously what he is at the moment. We almost need to be careful of developing coaches, I'd imagine, in Ireland. The FAI don't want to burn this bridge with Robbie Keane. Like, what if he goes and develops and turns out he's a fantastic coach? Like, this is a situation that obviously Stephen Kenny has his team, and that's perfect, and that's the way it should be for the senior international manager. But then there is an employee here who is a legend of the Irish game, who we surely don't want to annoy too much.
No, well, I think Robbie is bright enough to realise that sometimes football is a business and decisions are made. Stephen Kenny had a decision to make. He wanted to have on his coaching staff, and he needed to be right for him. He hasn't got that long of a contract to be able to carry a coach if he doesn't want the coach. So Stephen has made that decision in terms of he's going to have Damien and Keith with him. I think that's got to be respected as well. It's a big decision. It's a strong decision, and Stephen wants to do it his way, which is fair enough, especially when you don't get that many opportunities to manage a country.
You talked about Damien Duff and him going and working with the younger players at Shamrock Rovers, and that was a springboard for him to get to Celtic. And obviously, you know, he clearly wants to go down that path. And you look at what Keith Andrews did. He worked with the younger players at Ireland and kind of came up through the age grade there, so that when he got to the under-21s, he actually knew those players for a number of years and could have conversations with them. If you were advising Robbie Keane at this stage about, you know, plotting a course to get to a point where you have the experience of international football, now obviously he's been with Mick for that period of time that he's been with Mick in the backroom team there, but would it be a good idea if you were advising him, would you give him the advice to go and work with one of the other younger underage teams so that you know exactly what the talent pool is coming through?
No, every person is different. If I had to go into management as in coaching, I wouldn't want to have coached young players. That would have been as in like 15, 16-year-old. I think Damien did it at Rovers, but Keith Andrews did a year with MK Don's first team in the Championship before he started doing his Sky. So he was always looking to get into it, even when he was doing his media work. I think Robbie will know which way he wants to go and how he wants to do it. And you learn from your mistakes sometimes as you go along, for sure. Nobody can see how to be a manager, how to be a coach. You go along with it. You do as best you can, prepare as best you can to be that. And then after that, you rely on a little bit of luck and go from there. But Robbie will know what he wants to do. He's already coaching at a Championship team. And trust me, if you're on the coach's ladder and you get a job like that, you are delighted So he's up and running as a coach. His Ireland setup was definitely a bonus for allowing himself to gain more experience under Mick and TC. But I've known Mick and TC a long time, and they both come together. And TC is Mick's coach, and it'd be very difficult to see anybody else having a big impact. So Robbie would have learned a lot even from the 18 months he's had with Ireland, for sure.
Stephen, just on a final note, I think we just need to kind of appreciate that this is very much a new era for Irish football. I don't think anything kind of feels like a new era given everything that's happening in the world at the moment. But like, does that bring excitement for you? Are you hopeful for the future?
Yes, I've seen a lot of underage football the last couple of years myself, probably more than the three coaches put together that are there at the moment in terms of watching games. So I've seen a lot of the players' talents. I've seen young players develop in from under 18s to under 21s and go on and not be frightened. And I can see another one or two players developing to get into Stephen Kenny's team. It just won't be a case of Stephen's going to roll out all of these 21s into the senior setup. That's just not going to happen. And you have to be playing English football at a decent level to allow yourself to be in with a chance of playing for Ireland. He might have one or two that could come in and play that are not involved. An example, if Troy Parrott's not playing regularly, he could have them in the squad. But there won't be a case of there'll be five, six, seven players just roll up and get into the team. That won't happen. And even though they'll all be excited by Stephen Kenny getting the job because they'll have all have had good experiences with him and going for that. Just touching on Stephen, what I did see with Stephen was from Dundalk, he had a pattern of play to 21s for Ireland, and you could see similarities with extra different bits and pieces. To enable yourself to do that, you have to be a good coach, because every manager wants a style of play that they are renowned for. And with Stephen, I've seen definitely glimpses, if not 50-60% of the way Dundalk played or Ireland was 21s played, with extra bits then to adjust to the teams you're playing against. And again, that will have to be a case when you go up the ladder to international football. You will be able to bring your own pattern, but you'll have to adjust to better teams closing down, better teams streetwise to the whole situation. So Stephen's got his hands full, but it's definitely an exciting time with young players coming through and a new manager at the head.
You can see why the benefits of actually having worked with the under-21s, because everybody's like, oh, this isn't going to be like club football. He's not going to have loads of time with the players. He's not going to be able to get them to play like Dundalk were playing. But Stephen Kenny now has the experience of making the under-21s try and play a style of play with only a limited amount of coaching sessions with them, which I think is actually, you know, in the long run, we're going to look back at this and go, well, that was the right way to see if you could get a manager into the international setup from the way that Stephen Kenny's career was going, and maybe Jim Crawford is our next manager in waiting. We're getting ahead of ourselves there, but like there's a style and a system of bringing players through, and that makes a lot of sense. Just you talked about watching so much underage football. Can you name us some names about players that you are excited who are bubbling up, who might be a part of the first 18 months of Stephen Kenny's career as manager? Everybody's talking about Malumbi. Could he go straight in the team?
I think with Jason, he's you can tell by his style of play. I don't like individual calling out names. So I think if a career has a pathway, and sometimes you get injured, sometimes you have to pick yourself up from that. But with Jason, he's played championship football this year, and literally, I know he's from my neck of the woods, but he's literally a right keen double in terms of he doesn't really give a sugar who you are or what you do. He's just there to play. And after that, I'm sure Jason is respectful and a professional. But when he goes on that pitch, I don't think, let's just say, the best centre midfielder comes to play. I don't think Jason will be intimidated by him. I think he's going to play his game and run all over him to a certain degree, because that's what he is. He's an athlete. He's a closer down, and he can get on the ball and he can play. So Malumbi's definitely got a bright future. But again, he might go back to Brighton, might not play, get in the regularity of playing men's football, which he has done this year, and take a backward step. So a lot of players will have a transition this year, I think, of Premier League football, Championship, to maybe a week or two off to back into it straight away again. So you're not going to get much time to turn around the season in terms of mentality. Hopefully players will go in with a good rhythm and ready to go again straight away.
All right. Well, look, Stephen, we leave it there. You've been very good with your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
All the best.
The OTB Podcast Network.
I'm delighted our next guest is with us now to talk to us a bit about this. Richie Towle, you're very welcome to the show this morning here on OTBAM. How are you getting on?
Hi, thanks very much. Not too bad. I'm kind of just in the same boat as everyone else in the country and probably in the world at the moment. It's a difficult time for everybody, but it's a bit of a strange time as well. But it's been nice as well. I've been able to spend a bit of time with my family and spend mornings with my two kids, and I have to get up and rush off to train my games and stuff like that. So sometimes you have to take the good out of the bad that's happening, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as I said there, Stephen Kenny fully understands exactly what's going on. These are very unusual circumstances, and that's why he has been named manager a couple of months before he was scheduled to be. You know him very well. He signed you for Dundalk. What is it that makes Stephen Kenny a manager who's ready for this gig right now, Richie?
He's an amazing manager, first of all, and he's an amazing man. He is, you know, he doesn't just think of the team. He thinks of everybody. Like, a lot of managers always focus on their best 11 players, and that's it. Where with Stephen, it's a real team effort, and that's right through from the people who make the tea at the club that's what he was like at Dundalk. He made everybody feel like they were part of the family, and I think he'll do that with Ireland as well. Obviously, it will be a bit harder because he only gets to have lads for a certain amount of time of the year because they're going to go back to their clubs. But when he does have them there, I know that all the lads will love going and playing for Ireland and love going and playing for him.
One of the things that there was a conversation yesterday about what impact he might have immediately. Damien Delaney was talking about he's going to give the players confidence when they take the field, that there's a style of play, that there's a pattern that they're trying to get to, and that they're capable of doing that. There's no limit on their potential. Can you talk to us a bit about that? Because that's kind of how we would characterise watching his Dundalk team play. And even the under-21s, when they went, again, Damien Delaney made the point, you know, they went out playing Italy. They weren't going, oh, Jesus, we'd be lucky to get a draw here. They're like, we're going to get the ball and we're going to keep the ball because we're talented footballers. How does he do that? How does he get players feeling confident that the right thing to do is to want possession, to try and get possession, to try and keep the ball and try and be on the ball all the time?
Yeah, he just drilled that into us. Literally from the moment that we met up, he just kept on at us. I mean, every time we went down onto the pitch, well, I don't know how, I can't speak on other lads' behalf really, but I always felt like I was the best player going out onto the pitch. I always felt like I wanted the ball. I always wanted to be the one to take free kicks, take penalties. I always wanted to be on the ball. I always wanted to create chances, to take shots. He never, ever put the shackles in it and said, no, you must do this and you must do that. He said, if you get into the final third, you do what you want to do. If you want to have a shot, you want to dribble, you want to commit defenders. And that's the freedom that he gives you. And as I said, just his team talks are so inspirational. Yeah. Every game you go out, you believe you can win. You never, even if you're playing in Europe and you know that the team has got bigger budgets and better players on paper, going out to the game, you always felt, we can win this, and we can win this comfortably. I never thought, oh, do we just try and stay in the game until the last few minutes? He was just like, and then we went over to play Pate Borisov away from home, who had great pedigree at the time, and we were massive underdogs. And he just said, no, we're going there to win, and we're going there to keep the ball. And as soon as we went out on the pitch, after 5-10 minutes, we realised, right, we're actually just as good as they is. And I'll never forget that game over there. I think we got a draw, or they maybe narrowly beat us, but we absolutely battered them off the park with it. And when we came in, he said, I told you, like, I knew we were capable of doing it, but now you need to believe in it. And I think that's what he'll bring to the Irish side, you know. I think the last few Ireland teams have always been like, all right, we'll see how the game goes, and then we'll try and get them in the last few minutes where I know with Steve and especially where is on the 21 team, it's the exact same. They'll just go for the juggler straight away. They'll go to win the game, and they'll go to keep the ball, and they'll go to have high intensity in that pressing. And when they get the ball, they want to keep it and create a lot of chances, which is what every fan wants to see when they watch football.
Yeah, like it sounds as if we're going to see a bit of a difference in terms of attitude as much as anything else. Like, I don't want to be too harsh on Mick McCarthy, and perhaps this is more of a criticism of Martin O'Neill here, but we have seen in the past, Richie, that Irish players have been talked down a little bit, I think it's fair to say, whereas this seems it'll be the opposite, that we want to talk about how Stephen Kenny will play football and what his on-pitch philosophy will be, but actually probably the most important thing is what he's going to communicate to the players and the belief he will give to the players when they put on the green jersey.
Yeah, he'll install that in them straight away. Obviously, I was never part of it under the previous two managers, so I can't speak to how players felt then or what their message was given to the players, because I don't know. But all I know is that I know that with Steven, he will install in them that they are going to be the best players on the pitch. They are going to be the better team, and he's going to install how they're going to play. Obviously, it's going to take time. It takes time with everything. Even, I think, with us, with Dundalk, it happened rapidly, it did, because the group that he got together was amazing. And to be fair, the group that he got together there were people that nobody else wanted, you know. So he got us together, and we just wanted to learn. And I hope that the players, the one players, I hope that they do the same. I hope they buy into what he says, and I hope that they listen to him, because if they do, he will definitely steer them in the right direction.
Are you hopeful that they'll buy in Richie?
Sorry?
Are you expecting them to fully buy in? Like, I think that's been a little bit of a worry. Like, I think really when you look at his under 21 management, and like anybody who has any knowledge of football knows that there is no reason to have any concerns about Stephen Kenny in terms of getting the respect from the dressing room. But stranger things have happened. Is that a concern for you at all, that he doesn't actually claim the respect of the entire dressing room immediately?
Yeah, I think he'll get the respect straight away. And not just because of what he's already done in football, because of the person that he is. Stephen, he's a great man, he is. He's a family man. I know that his wife and his daughters and his sons used to go and watch all the games, and he was very interested in other players' families as well. You know, he used to always ask how they were getting on. As soon as I had my two kids, he was on to me asking, saying congratulations and asking how they were and how my partner was. So, but that's the way Stephen is. He really looks after his players, and he wants to know how their family life is, and I think that's the sort of person he is. So I know that. I know a lot of the lads that's in the Ireland squad, they all have families and kids and stuff like that. So I think they'll have a mutual respect in that sense. And I just know that as soon as they walk with Stephen, that straight away they'll realise the person that he is and the coach that he is as well, you know. And then obviously when it comes around to the games, they'll soon realise that the belief that he'll be able to instill in them, and hopefully they can go and do great things.
Surrounded himself well on his background. Can I ask you, Richie, about Team Shay?
Sorry, I've cut him off there a little bit.
I didn't think Ger was just going to hop in and ask you about the team shape there.
Yeah, no worries, Richie. Just, can you hear me now?
Sorry, Ger.
Yeah,
just in terms of
now,
sorry, I think we've just got a bit of a delay on a couple of the lines here, Richie. Just in terms of the team shape, I think is what Ger was trying to get at there. What Stephen Kenny, like, we've heard from you there brilliantly about how he's going to motivate the players, how he's going to communicate with the players. But what is he actually going to communicate to these Irish players, do you think? What is the actual plan going to be, and how discernibly different will it be for Mick McCarthy?
I don't know what sort of tactics Stephen is going to do, because obviously it depends on personnel, doesn't it? I know at Dundalk, he just wanted high energy, high pressing, attacking football. That's what he wanted there. And obviously we had the players there at the time to do it. We had the likes of Dal Horgan and Darren Neen and that one with lots of pace. Chris Shields, Ronan Finn, players like that in the middle of the park that could all get around. And obviously with me and Ronan Finn, we used to get forward a hell of a lot and shoot them with goals. So I would imagine he would want his midfielders and his wingers chipping in and helping the strikers with the goals. So it would be great to see Ireland playing the type of football that we did at Dundalk, you know, because I think everybody could see in the country that we used to play really attractive football. And we used to play fast, attacking. And we used to take chances at the back, you know. We used to play out. And I think that's what fans want to see, you know. Fans don't really want to see cagey football anymore. They want to see the likes of the way Man City's and Liverpool's, and even see with the likes of Wolves and things like that, you know, they keep the ball at the back, and then they have the two full-backs that are bombing on constantly, and that's what Stephen wants to do, you know. I know with Dan Massey and Sean Gannon, he used to tell them to keep going forward, even if one has gone forward, the other one go forward as well, and that's the type of football we used to play at Dundalk, and it was great to be a part of, and I'm sure it was great for the fans to watch. So If it's something similar, I'm sure the players will love it. And then obviously, if the players are loving it and enjoying their football, it will hopefully end up with good results, because ultimately that's how it's going to be judged, you know, it's how results go. So as a fan, I hope that Ireland are winning. That's the main thing.
Like, I guess the question then, and this is almost a defeatist Irish fan. This is me like almost channeling my inner Martin O'Neill here asking this question. But do we have the players in the Republic of Ireland senior team to then enact that? Because like with Dundalk, obviously a great bunch of players in the League of Ireland. We talk about Manchester City and Liverpool, two of the best squads in the Premier League. How will Stephen Kenny be able to do that against better international opposition?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have really good players playing for Ireland, you know. We have, I think the majority of our players are playing the Premier League, you know, and that's what like Seamus Coleman, Emma Stevens, Shane Duffy, like Jeff Hendrick, Robbie Brady, you know what I mean? You have a lot of good talent there. So I think with the good talent that we have, and how Stephen makes you feel and how he's going to make them feel like they're the best players, I think it can only be a recipe for good things. And obviously, time will tell that, but fingers crossed, all just clicks together.
Yeah, like, and that idea that you mentioned there of midfielders coming forward, chipping in with a lot more, I think that's something that Irish people have been looking for a while. We've mentioned Jason Malumbi's name on the show quite a bit this morning, and he's almost the instant personification of that, isn't he? The forward-running midfielder who's chipping in with a couple of goals, with a couple of attempts every game for Millwall. But he's also coming through Stephen Kenny's under-21 setup. It's almost as if his rise has aligned nicely with Stephen Kenny's rise, placing an added tactical importance on his attacking midfielders.
Yeah, Jason, I work with Jason at Brighton, and he is 100% going to play for Ireland. There's no doubt about it in my eyes. Jason is a top player, and he's a great person as well. Really hard working, and as a midfielder, he can do it all. He can head tackle, he can get around the park, he can drive the team forward. He's a real leader, he is. So I'm sure that Stephen has probably earmarked him as someone who can go into the team. I have no doubt that Jason is good enough to go and play for Ireland. And I think it'll be sooner rather than later that he will. But even going back to what you said there, I think his under-21 team has a lot of really good players. And I think everybody knows what Stephen is like. He is no issue in putting young players in. And he doesn't care what anyone else thinks, you know. If they're good enough, that's all that counts. And his under-21 team was a really exciting team to watch. And I have no doubt that he will put a lot of them in.
A personal level, does having somebody like Stephen Kenny manage the senior national team have an impact on your own career ambitions? Is there like when you heard this news, did you think, yeah, look, you know, I'm playing for Salford City, obviously, at the moment. You've got some Premier League experience in terms of knowing exactly what the expectations are. And everybody involved in this Ireland setup has played throughout the different levels of football in England. Does it change your own frame of mind about how you think about what's coming next in your own career?
No, I never changes my mind, to be honest. I'm always a very driven person anyways. So I always just do what I need to do, you know. I don't get me wrong, I was over the moon when it was announced that Stephen got the job. I texted him straight away and congratulated him. He's just that type of person. He's had probably, other than my parents and my family, he's had the biggest influence on my career over anyone else. I was probably going to stop playing football only for Stephen, so I owe him a lot. And he's probably made me the person that I am today by his work ethic and how he thinks. That's probably been instilled in me, and I'm a very driven person anyway. So for me, I just need to, first of all, get back playing, because nobody's playing football anymore, which is probably the most frustrating thing. You'll have a lot of time on the chance to go back over previous games, which would probably be a good thing for him, but I think it's frustrating time for everyone. So for me, first and foremost, I need to just get back playing. And obviously, we are starting to put a good run together at Salford. They're really, really good team now. Obviously, me and Darren Gibson were playing the last couple of games in this field together after Gibbo signing. So, hopefully if everything gets up and running, Stephen wants more than once again, and we see how it goes. But only held me breath on that, to be honest, because there's a lot of players playing at a higher level than me, even if you speak about the likes of Jason Malone. He signed the championship weekend with Millwall, and he's flying. And then you have other midfielders, Jeff Hendricks from Paradise, you know. So, you never know.
Exactly.
I'd always be optimistic, I would.
Yeah, you're right to be, though. He obviously really rates you, Richie. And you've been great with your time this morning. I hope you stay well and hope you're ready for whenever the football kicks back in. Great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.